And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials this Saturday morning. I have a treat for you today. I have a buddy of mine that I've known for about 20 years here in the radio station, but I could not figure out how to get his headphones plugged in, so he's on the mic across from me. His name is Dave Thomason. Dave is a former Marine, or do you always...
Still a Marine. Still always a Marine.
I'm sorry. You see how I totally botched that?
That works.
Before we came on the air this morning, I was asking what the name of this device is that he uses to help people with everything from depression to dementia to Parkinson's to memory loss to people, individuals that have had concussions. And I thought he said ISIS, and I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. But he says, no, it's called ISIS. It's a microcurrent device. And I thought it'd be interesting to bring Dave on the radio this morning with me and just have him explain one of the things, or how he uses this device to bless and help other people. And of course, I think everybody knows that listens to this program, you can understand that I have probably an extreme bias toward any remedy or solution that is safe, it's natural, it doesn't have any side effects such as some of the chemical drugs. But before I talk any longer, let me introduce Dave Thomason.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Morgan. Yeah, you know, one thing, and I've listened to your program for quite a number of years, and one of the things that I've always kept in mind and tried to remember is some of the things that you say, and that's how God created the body, and but God created our body to heal itself, and that is fortunately what has been able to happen with me. With in my growing up, I had a lot of concussions, probably six or eight, even before I joined the Marine Corps. And then
wow.
Spent a little bit of time in the Marine Corps, retired in 93. And then in the last 20 years of martial arts, been doing a lot of sparring and fighting. So I've had a few more concussions. And of all the things that bother me about getting older, not many of them do, but the dementia is the one thing that just scares the dog out of me. And that's what was happening. I was seeing from month to month, even my ability to remember things just decline. And so I had to retire as a veteran service officer here in 2017 because
but
I couldn't remember stuff.
Did you see that yourself, though?
I did.
So you could tell there was a perceptible drop-off in how you could remember and recall information?
Yeah, and it's frustrating and it's scary.
Did you ever have anybody approach you and say, hey, Dave, we told you something and you forgot it?
Numerous times, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And what would be even worse would be people that I'd known for decades come up and talk to him. I'm like, yeah.
And you would just totally lose their name?
Totally.
But you'd recognize their face, right?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did. I managed to do that. But anyway, after I retired in 2017, probably just a week or two after I retired, a friend of mine sent me a text of a flyer for a seminar about microcurrent neural feedback. So I went in January of 18, and I sat there and I listened to some of the things they were saying, and none of it really spoke to me. I mean, it was just, you know, people that were having this done and they felt better and it went really well for them and all this. But then when they started talking about a study that they did with the University of California in San Diego and the VA Medical Center there, and they worked with Marines that had been hit with IEDs, so they had traumatic brain injuries, and they
had PTSD. Just so everybody knows, what is an IED?
An improvised explosive device. It's a bomb.
It's a bomb that they're using to try to kill Marines with, right?
Yeah. You know, and more people die from the concussive effects of it than from the shrapnel effects of them.
I did not know that. Yeah. So just the blast force causing
the
a concussion.
Force of the blast causes more deaths than...
Because ultimately that just does incredible damage to the brain, right?
To the entire body, but especially to the brain. And one thing, you know, maybe a lot of folks know and a lot of folks don't know, concussions are cumulative, meaning the concussion I had last time is only going to get worse with the next one I have. And then they just compound on each other because the brain never has a chance to heal.
Oh, no,
so you're adding injury to injury.
You're never better off by having one more concussion, are you?
No.
And so they did this study at the University of California.
And they showed a video of a retired Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant. He'd been hit with two IEDs and had been diagnosed with PTSD, and he'd been dealing this for almost 5.5 years.
But you saw this video played at the seminar, right?
Yes.
What did the before shot look like?
Well, oh, no, I didn't see.
Oh,
it's just him talking. I'm sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
Just him talking, telling his story. But after his first, and he was part of this study that they were doing. After his first treatment, he called the guys up and said, "What did you guys do to me?" And they're like, "Are you okay?" And he says, "Yeah. For the first time in almost 5.5 years, I actually slept." Because normally these guys with PTSD, you know, they get maybe 2, 3, 4 hours of sleep a night, maybe.
And that's it.
And so he had actually slept that night. He had been accustomed to getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning every morning and taking migraine meds because he had migraines.
But he had just one treatment. This microcurrent neurofeedback device.
And he slept better, and he didn't have a migraine that morning.
I could see why he'd call him on the phone and say, "What did y'all do to me? Because I like this."
Yeah. I mean, it worked for him. Now, it doesn't work for everybody that well the first time, but they have about an 85 to 90% success rate, or rate of helping people, of a noticeable difference.
Could you tell me one pharmaceutical drug that would have a 90% success rate?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. Yeah.
Anyway, but this is interesting. Do you happen to know how old he was?
I don't. He was probably, I would say he would have been in late 30s.
Oh, my goodness. That's a kid, Dave.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he had been exposed to an IED.
Two
of them, not just one.
Not just one, two, yeah.
So at the very least, he had two very significant brain injuries, right?
Yes.
Concussions?
Yes.
Okay.
At the very least. And he had noticeable improvement. And so, listening to him, that got my attention. Then I started really paying attention to what these guys were saying and listening to them. And so afterwards, I went and talked to him. I said, "Okay, here's my deal. I've had all these concussions growing up, and all my time in martial arts, I've had a few more. I'm losing it. My memory is gone, just about."
You were literally scared.
I was. And they said, "Yeah, we can help you out." And so I went home, and I don't do much anything like this without, you know, thinking about it. So I did. I thought about it. I tried to read up on it. There was very little information on it then. There's more now. But I decided, yeah, I don't have anything to lose. I wasn't working anymore. So I went ahead and went.
And you weren't working because you couldn't function at your job, right?
I couldn't function at the job I wanted to function at. Yeah.
Goodness.
So I went, and again, after my first treatment, I had been accustomed to sleeping only about 3 or 4 hours a night. And then all of a sudden...
Would you sleep those 3 hours straight, or was it broken?
No, it was broken.
So you had a broken 3 to 4 hours, and that was it?
Yeah. I would usually, when I would sleep, I would go to bed and go to sleep, and I would sleep for anywhere between about maybe 30 minutes and maybe an hour to hour and a half. And then I would wake up, and I would be awake for 2 to 3 hours before I'd manage to go back to sleep, and then still get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym.
Never heard of adrenaline or cortisol, have you?
Yeah, stress
hormones. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to those in just a couple of minutes, as a matter of fact. That first treatment, I was shocked. I slept well. I felt better. In fact, during the treatment, it was kind of strange because I didn't feel like I was amped up about anything. I'm not one that deals with anxiety, really. But I just kind of felt a calm, and it just started at the top of my head and just went right.
But this
out
is
my
this
feet.
Is during your first that was, microcurrent that was, brain treatment.
That was okay. My feeling during it, yeah. Not cool. Everybody feels that, but some do. And then when I finished, I'm just kind of looking around, and everything was brighter and more focused. I was more aware of the surroundings around me. And those are some of the same kinds of comments I get from other people that I've treated. So I know it wasn't just me that feels that. the sleep issue was probably one of the biggest things that that I really took out of it that I really liked.
Oh, that's a game changer right there.
And you know, and one of the things I didn't know then that I have subsequently learned is that what we're doing with this, and in fact, this is when I first came to you with, or when I came to you before we got to this point here, was you had talked about, I caught part of one of your shows on delta wave sleep and sleep apnea. And I came in, I tell you, that's what I do. I help people get this delta wave sleep. And little did I realize at the time, that's that point where the body can heal itself. And not the body, but the brain. The brain just opens up and it detoxes and it begins the process of healing itself. And without that delta wave sleep, your body can't heal. And you just kind of digress from there in your sleep, you know, into the point, to the point where you don't even get REM sleep even. So you don't dream. And that was kind of where I was. I wasn't even in REM sleep anymore. So basically, out of the in the brain waves, we primarily deal with alpha, beta, theta, and delta. Alpha is where we're awake and alert. Beta is when we were in that first stage of going to sleep and waking up. The theta is where our REM sleep is, and then the delta is where the body heals. But I couldn't even get into the theta. I was in the beta range of sleep, so I really wasn't resting.
How many years do you think you were completely unsatisfied with your sleep now that you look back?
Yeah, probably at least 8 or 10.
You know what I was going to say? I was going to say, could it have been 20 years since you just slept great? But 8 or 10, right?
Yeah, at least.
So you went for a span of maybe 8 to 10 years, Dave, not even realizing that you were getting poor quality sleep and you were just getting by and just suffering through 3 to 4 hours a night at best.
Yeah.
And so over time, this started to just literally wear you down, didn't it?
Yeah. When that's what you do and that becomes your norm, that's just the way life is.
Well, how can you see it any other way if that's what you're used to?
Yeah.
It's only after you had this first treatment that you go, whoa, I actually slept.
Yeah, and then, you know, from there on, and I think I went through a total of about 7 or 8 treatments. But, again, you know, it just got better and better and better. The first treatment, I think, actually lasted about 5 or 6 days, and then my sleep started falling off a little bit. But then the second treatment, we maintained that for the entire week, and then we just kind of tapered off from there, you know, moved the treatments out further so that I was sustaining that sleep until I could sustain it.
Do you think it took somewhere between 7 to 8 treatments to get you to that sweet spot or that happy place where you could function at a much higher level?
I was somewhere around the treatment 6 at that point.
Treatment 6.
Yeah, and then I did another 1 or 2 just to kind of make sure.
Just the icing on the cake. But about 6 treatments into it, you could tell that you were your brain was completely in a different place.
It was.
A better place.
It was, and I was sustaining that. And that's the really big part here, is being able to sustain that.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if the only way that you could keep your brain functioning, well, Dave, this may not be appropriate, but I'm going to say it anyway. The other day I had a gentleman in front of me, and he just tells me point blank. He says, I drink whiskey every night before I go to bed. And I asked him, I said, well, why do you drink whiskey for? He said, because it helps me forget. But what happens is, and you already know this, he's got to repeat the whiskey every single night just so he can forget his pain and suffering in the past.
Self-medicate.
Yeah, exactly. But whereas this microcurrent neurofeedback, this is not addictive, it's not toxic, there's no downside or side effects.
Right. In fact, it can help alleviate addictions.
What would you say is the, if the person on the street asked you, what is the main thing this microcurrent feedback device does to the brain?
What we're doing is we're retraining the brain on how to fire correctly. When the brain gets locked into this pattern where it's not working right, it's just like me, when I wasn't sleeping well, when things weren't going right for me, that became my norm. So I really don't realize or understand that everything's not necessarily right. Well, the brain's kind of the same way. When the brain gets locked into firing incorrectly, it doesn't realize it's not doing it right. So it just maintains that as its norm. Then when we start the treatments, we're showing the brain that that you're not firing correctly, and the brain goes, ah. So it sees that, and it begins the process of correcting itself or healing itself.
Or maybe undoing a bad habit or pattern, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
You know what I experienced the first time that you did this to me?
What's that?
It was almost like, I know it's a microcurrent device, so it's supposed to be kind of sub-threshold where you can't really tell, but I felt this wave kind of go from the center or the top of my head all the way over to the left side of my brain. I kind of thought to myself, I wonder if that's where, you know, the damage was when I got knocked out. I think I've been knocked out 3 times, Dave. I've kind of made a joke at times going, I just can't afford to have one more concussion. I mean, have you ever heard that the high-level rodeo stars that ride bulls, I think they say after 40 bull rides, they could easily lose about 30 to 40% of their brain function. That is about the most scary thing of all time.
Well, and when you kind of stop and think about it, it really makes sense, because the brain's not locked into place, right? There's fluid in there, and the brain can slosh around. And mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that and it's what knocks people out. If you hit somebody on the side of the head, you snap the head over to one side, and then as it snaps back, the brain smashes from one side of the head to the other. And that banging on the side of the skull, that's what, you know, knocks people out. So, or that's one of the things that knocks people out anyway.
Yeah, but the brain is soft and the skull is hard.
And that's causing bruising and damage to the brain. And that, if you can't get to that and or do something for that, that doesn't heal.
I mean, haven't you ever heard of somebody having a concussion and then everybody makes the comment after the fact? They are not right. They're not the same. They are not the same person after they had that.
Yeah. In fact, talking about concussions, I just remember had a young football player, Whitehouse. He had a concussion. He was light sensitive, you know, wasn't feeling well.
When you say light sensitive, you mean he walks out in the sunshine and it's just overpowering to him?
Well, the light in here was overpowering for him.
Oh, so even the light here in the studio is like so bright and it's overwhelming. You can't take it.
Yeah. And so I ran one of the treatments on him, and during the treatment, he was just like, the light's not bothering anymore.
Oh, wow.
The headache is gone.
You talk about a rapid fire change.
Yeah.
That's fast.
It is. And the treatments last about 20 minutes. And so, yeah, he was probably halfway through it or so when he was no longer sensitive to the light.
I mean, am I wrong by saying that situation was corrected within just a few minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and this system, by the way, this is the only system that actually has image-based evidence showing that it does work. In that study that they did in San Diego with the Marines there, they did 3D MRI, and they call it a magnetic encephalography or something like that. Basically what it does is it maps the brain.
Oh, how cool is that?
I'm sure it probably is. It's one of those high-dollar machines. I think there's like half a dozen of them in the United States.
There's probably half a dozen in the world.
There's probably a few more. Ooh. Yeah. But what this does is this, and they did before and after images of these guys' brains, and you can see in the before images the hot spots in the brain where, you know, the anxiety resides, or where depression is, or, you know, the different things that are going on, and you could see those hot spots. And then after the treatment, they did those tests again, the MEG and the 3D MRI, and you can see those spots cooling down.
So they start reducing in size, like they're beginning to normalize.
Yeah. And just like, you know, when you look at images of, you know, things where you have the hot spots are like yellow, and then it cools down to red and blue and stuff like that. That's what was showing up in the brain. So you can see the hot spots, and then afterwards it's all cooling down, and those symptoms or those issues are going away or calming down.
But probably what's also just as good as the person tells you, hey, I'm not living in anxiety and fear and depression any longer.
Yeah. Well, what we see a lot of times is, and this, I've got a couple of vets that I'm working with in Longview, they come in with an anxiety or depression level at like 9 or 10.
Is 10 the highest on the scale?
That is pretty high.
Oh, dear.
And these guys were, they were pretty bad off. One guy, he was an Army vet over in Afghanistan, but his Humvee got hit with an IED, so it rolled. So, you know, he had that going on with his, you know, concussions and then the PTSD that goes along with that. Startle response was really bad. You know, just any kind of a noise, and he's almost breaking his neck.
I mean,
neck
that
to
means
look,
he's completely in the fight or flight, super complete, high levels of adrenaline.
Yeah. So, yeah, and this kid, he came in, he had a hoodie on. This was like late November or late February, early March.
Is this the same guy?
Yeah. And he had his hoodie pulled all the way up to the bottom of his eyes and down to the top of his eyes. So really all I could see was eyeballs. So we had to turn most of the lights off in the room just so he could
just
come in there.
So he could come in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
The first treatment went okay for him. It didn't go really well. But the second treatment, we eliminated the photophobia, the sensitivity to the light.
Did he wear the hoodie in all the way down like he did the second time?
Not the second time, not quite all the way down, but he still wore it. But after that second time, then he would wear it, but he didn't have the hood up anymore.
So you can see changes right in front of your eyes in his personality.
Yeah. He comes in now. He's an entirely different young man right now. He's
so his life has been
joking.
Transformed.
He's been totally changed, totally transformed.
He wasn't laughing before, was he?
He was not laughing before, but he comes in and he's happy. He's got a big smile. And I mean, he's a young guy. He might be, you know, in his late 20s, maybe.
Well, he is. 30. He's a kid.
Yeah.
But he went from just a very dark place with a black cloud over him, where it was just. But I mean, I want you to be straight with me about this. Could and where when he came into you, Dave, could he function in real world?
No. In fact, that's one of the things you see with a lot of these vets is they hide.
Did he have a full time job when he came in?
Oh no.
So what did he do?
He didn't do anything. He'd sit around home and play his video games and stuff.
And so that was it.
That was pretty much it.
So that was pretty much his day. He would attempt to sleep.
That was his life.
He would try to eat something, and he'd play video games.
Yeah.
But as far as doing anything really productive,
no.
He couldn't do that at all.
He was non-functioning for the most part.
Did he ever by chance tell you what his main deal was when he came in? I mean, could he put the pieces together and say, this is what I want?
Well, he didn't know really what he wanted, I don't think,
yeah,
other
but
than
he couldn't,
to get
He couldn't
better.
Even put that together.
No, but he knew. You know, we knew that his depression was really bad. His anxiety was worse than his depression. His startle response was really bad. I haven't seen that kind of startle response since working with a lot of the Vietnam vets. They had really bad startle responses.
I'm just curious, was he taking any drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, to kind of control anxiety?
He didn't know how many he was taking, but he knew he was taking more than 30.
You're talking about 30 individual prescriptions or
yes.
30 pills?
30 individual prescriptions.
Oh, and he's in his late 20s,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Dave.
And now, and I haven't asked him if he's gone to talk to his doc to see if he can taper off some of the meds. I know he's not taking his migraine medications anymore. We've totally eliminated his migraine meds.
So if a person doesn't have migraine headaches any longer, why would you take migraine medication?
And so he had three separate meds for migraines.
Is that because the first one wasn't strong enough to control him?
I don't imagine.
Something like that.
But yeah, he would get multiple migraines a day. So he was just all the time.
How could this not be a home run if you go from three migraine headache medications to where you don't need any at all?
Yeah.
That's exactly. Man, way to go.
And functioning and enjoying life now. And that's kind of one of the really cool things about it, is that we can bring that back for people. We can make it so that they can enjoy life again.
Do you know whether or not this young man doesn't devote his time to playing video games all day long?
Yeah, I don't think he spends all day long doing them anymore, but I don't know exactly what all he does. I haven't really talked to him about that.
Is there any possibility he's tried to get a job?
I don't know that he can, just because of the way his VA disability ratings are structured.
Okay.
I've got another vet over there that has been applying for jobs. He probably hasn't worked for a decade or more.
Well, what was? Oh my goodness! So yeah. 10+ years.
Yeah.
What was he like when you first started?
He was a Navy corpsman with a Marine Corps unit. He got hit with an IED, lost a finger and part of his hand. His depression level was extremely bad. He was extremely high on the depression scale.
What was his age, Dave?
He is probably like 48 to 50 in that area. He had, and that's the one thing, a lot of these guys, they deal with different issues. And one of his was impulsivity, where as soon as he'd get his paycheck, it was gone. And so,
how would he spend it?
Waste it.
But was there gambling involved at all?
I don't know. I don't think he was gambling. I think he was just wasting it.
You know why I bring that up, Dave? Because one of the side effects of people that have a condition called Parkinson's disease is they can be really impulsive. And so if they went to like a casino, it could be the paycheck is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and that's that impulsivity. You know, they see something and they want it, and they
and there's no way for the brain to say no. Maybe that's not a great decision.
No.
You know, hold
back. They don't have that capacity. And so now, after I think we just did the 8th treatment on him, we did 7 on the other guy. He missed one, but he's coming in. He's applying for jobs now. Again, you know, he's got a life. He's able to function. You know, he's getting out in the community, and he's doing things. He's going to financial management classes, and he's learning how to manage his money.
He's trying to help himself.
He is. And to see the changes in those guys, you know, as we're going through this, and now here, you know, just a few months later, and these are totally different guys.
Dave, I remember back from the early 90s when I used to do workman's compensation. They would have all these studies and research on what is the likelihood of a person that's injured on the job returning to work if they've been off work for like 1 week. And so they had said, okay, it's pretty likely. But if somebody has been out of work for 1 year, man, that's just nearly impossible after a year of being off work to get them back to work, ever.
Well, and that becomes their new norm.
And so the brain is in this holding pattern of maybe not processing information, not beating on all its cylinders.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is one thing about going back to the PTSD, and we talked a minute ago about, you know, the adrenaline and the cortisol and the epinephrine, all those things dumping into the body. When that's all the brain does, when it's accustomed to doing that for such a long period of time, then that becomes its norm now. And that's what it's doing. And what some people may or may not realize is the effects that that has on the body. You know, when you get that sudden dump of adrenaline, you know, your heart rate goes up, your breathing goes up, your awareness kind of goes up because something's fixing to happen and you've got to be able to do something about it. But when that's a constant all day, every day, then that constant increase in heart rate, now you're causing problems with high blood pressure. You can have issues with obesity, diabetes. With high blood pressure and diabetes, now you've got problems with circulation. Now you've got problems with your organs. They just compound on each other, not to mention the problems that you have with your brain health, with depression, anxiety,
impulsivity. These people, they don't feel good.
No.
They're not in a happy place on the inside.
They
feel
not.
Completely, there's angst, there's nervousness, they're jittery. They're not in a good place emotionally.
No. And most of them want to, you know, a lot of times, and that's one of the things about being in East Texas, and why we have one of the reasons we have a large veteran population is they can buy large pieces of property and go and basically almost isolate themselves.
So they move to the middle of 25 acres where they don't have to have contact with other humans.
Kinda.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And that leads to more problems. So.
Yeah. And so this device, this microcurrent neurofeedback that you do, this is a very straightforward tool that's non-invasive.
Right.
There's no pain or suffering involved. It's extremely affordable, right?
It's affordable.
But the issue is you can apply a treatment and a person can probably start to see some changes pretty quick.
Yes.
I think I listened to you a while ago. You said it took really about 6 treatments where you felt like you were in a good place.
For me, yeah. That's all it took. And for these guys, and these guys have been dealing with PTSD for years, you know, the Navy corpsman, we just call him Doc. That's why all Navy corpsmen's get that moniker.
Well, they're the only doctor those guys are going to see out in the field, right?
and it is a term of endearment for Marines. You start seeing, and that's the thing about this. We start seeing sustainability usually in three to four treatments. We'll see decent sustainability. Where we're sustaining, they're sustaining, you know, the sleep and the calmness, or, you know, not as much reaction. You know, generally we're getting to where we can sustain that for over a week.
You're talking about where somebody doesn't have a hair trigger any longer.
Yeah. Awesome. And they're sleeping, their bodies are healing.
Well, you know, there's no way around this. If a person cannot sleep, they cannot heal, they can't function, they couldn't even begin to repair the brain when you're living all 3 hours a night.
No, you can't. And you know, and then it takes its effects on the body physically.
So this guy that hadn't worked for 10 years, a Navy corpsman, we'll call him Doc, all of a sudden his world's changed for the better.
Yeah.
He's got hope for tomorrow.
He does. And the same, you know, he comes in with an entirely different attitude now. He's enjoying life now.
Oh, how cool is that? You got to see him at his very worst.
I got to see him pretty bad.
And this is the very best version of him that you've seen up to date,
right?
This is
the best version he's had of him in a long, long time.
Now, if I'm being too personal, let me know, but does he have a family?
No.
I was just curious if there might be some feedback from a family member saying they've seen a great change.
Yeah, see, and that's a lot of the problem with PTSD is the veterans don't know how to deal with it, so the families sure don't. And it causes a lot of breakups.
So these guys are completely isolated, aren't they?
Isolated. And they some of them have groups. Like in Longview, there's enough guys there, and they have some programs where, you know, the vets get together, you know, once or twice a week, and, you know, talk about different things. But yeah, other than that, they have no family.
Do you think those groups are pretty helpful?
Yeah.
What would happen if everyone in the group did this microcurrent feedback?
It'd be a lot happier group.
Now, I realize, you know, that device you told me about, you said functional 3D MRI, and that other device that's very high-tech that maps the brain.
Yes.
They're just now starting to use these to evaluate the brains of people that have had severe, you know, traumatic brain injuries, concussions, but just almost all these people, they have on some level, they have anxiety, they have depression. Of course, you know, the way that I like to word this, they just are not in a happy place with their own thoughts.
No.
They probably, if they're being honest with themselves, they just don't like the way they think.
No.
And so after they have a few treatments, they can actually start to see a change where they like the way they think again.
They can feel the changes.
And so you're moving them in a positive direction.
We're definitely doing that.
Well, isn't this called healing and repair and rejuvenation?
It is.
You know, Dave, one thing, when I was in chiropractic college back in the early 80s, they literally taught us that the brain cells that you're born with, that's all you're ever going to get. You're not going to get any more. So if you have brain cells die, and you know, I wouldn't even be able to tell you for maybe a mild concussion. Who knows? Maybe 50 million brain cells end up dying because, like you said earlier, the soft brain makes a crash collision with that hard part of the inside of the bone of the skull, and they're dead. But we know now that's not true, Dave.
Yeah.
What's true is your brain can probably grow 50 million new baby neurons a day.
Well, and that's one of the things that these studies are showing as where there were spots in the brain where the brain was not functioning, the brain can now function. It's beginning to function. It's firing now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helping those places in the brain that were not firing. They're starting to fire now.
Oh, wow.
So
have you ever heard the term? I know you have. I'm being ridiculous here. You've heard the term nootropic?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Well, for example, there is a substance that's becoming more and more discussed in medical circles and research, but they call this substance, they call it BDNF for short, but what that stands for, it's called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And because what this does is it helps stimulate the brain to grow new neurons. But like anything else, if you grow a new muscle cell, Dave, doesn't it make a difference how you train that muscle cell? I mean, you've been involved with martial arts for how long?
Almost 20 years, yeah.
What is the form of martial art that you practice?
Ours is American Bushido Kai.
What is that to the average person, though?
It's a stand-up style of fighting.
Is it like karate, though?
It's karate, yeah.
Okay.
And we do it as a ministry. That way, if we can't witness to them and talk them into Jesus, we beat Jesus into them or something.
Oh, that's a good plan. They have no option but to learn about the saving grace of Jesus,
there
right?
There you go.
And so, with your teaching karate, I mean, your brain cells, they have to fire on all 8 cylinders, don't they?
It helps.
Well, this substance called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, I mean, it is advantageous. Anything that you can do to stimulate your brain's production of it is going to put you in a place where you can actually, it's almost like miracle grow for the brain, if I can use that as my analogy. But there's 2 things that have always been shown to make this stuff work. Number one, it's called novel learning. I've got to believe that when you're teaching a karate class and somebody hadn't, well, forgive me for calling it karate. Was that offensive to you?
No, it's karate.
Okay. But when you're teaching somebody for the first time, they don't necessarily get what you're saying the first time, do they?
No.
It takes repetition.
It takes a little bit.
But when you learn something brand new, what you're doing is you're creating a situation for your brain to grow brand new neurons. The other one, exercise. So I'm going backwards here.
Yeah.
This young guy that was maybe 29 years old that walked in with a hoodie just draped over his face where he couldn't, he really wouldn't make great eye contact with you, would he?
No. And you know, when you talk about exercise, there was no exercise. His exercise was, you know, walking from the chair that he was sitting in to the kitchen to get something to eat or something, probably.
I think I've noticed and observed that people that do the most moving, they live the longest.
Yes.
So he's not in a better place by sitting in front of a TV playing video games all day long.
No.
So he went from that, but he's doing a whole lot more than what he was.
He is. He's actually, and that's some of the comments that these guys make, is that they feel better. They're more energetic. They feel like doing things now. They feel like getting out. So it's just,
Dave, if that's not what healing looks like, I wouldn't know how to describe it, because if you go from being stuck in a chair, walking to the bathroom or to the kitchen to eat and play video games all day long, all of a sudden now you have interests that fulfill your life's goals and purposes, that's healing.
It is.
And you can't sit in the chair any longer. You got to get up and do something
good. And that's the cool thing about it. That's what they're doing. They're getting up and they're getting out and they're doing things. They're getting active again.
Dave, do you mind if I give the radio audience your phone number?
No.
And I'm going to do it 2 or 3 times, and I'm so sorry I haven't given it yet. But your name is Dave Thomason. How do you spell your last name?
Thomason.
Thomason.
Yes.
Okay, your phone number is 903-530-7704. I know you have the softest place in your heart for military veterans.
I've been helping them for a long time.
And that's not going to change, is it?
No.
If anything, you're going to be helping them more now and in the future than what you were maybe even a year ago, right?
That's what we're trying to do.
So you've been using this microcurrent neurofeedback. Do you prefer to go to people, or do you prefer people to come to you?
It's easier if they can come here, but it fits in a backpack. So I go out to them. Right now, I'm working on going into Longview probably once every week or two in Longview right now. Been going to Longview, been in Tyler some, and around here.
Well, when you come in contact with somebody that needs your services, how long does it usually take from start to finish to introduce yourself, tell them about the device, apply the treatment, which it does involve like applying electrodes to the head, right?
It does. But and that's the thing, the power on these electrodes is so low. It's like 300 times less power than your cell phone. So it's not like we're doing the electric shock treatments of the past where you feel anything. You don't feel the process at all. The only thing you'll feel is me moving the electrodes around. So it's 3 picowatts of power, which is not enough power to penetrate the skull. So if we can't penetrate the skull with the electricity, then how are we getting to the brain? We're using neural pathways in the scalp to get to the brain.
Ah, there you go.
So that's actually getting back to ancient Chinese medicine.
You know, that's impossible to understand that stuff. If you ask the average medical doctor if they like acupuncture, they go, no, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Dave, I don't think I could do my job all day long unless I could use these acupuncture meridians. It would just be impossible because it's a different pathway. It's a different language.
It is.
Which, you've heard of people taking CBD oil to try to help them, right?
Yes.
They're positive that the body is just flooded with all these cannabinoid receptor sites, and they're almost identical completely to the acupuncture meridians, which I find fascinating. So this is the way into the brain.
It is.
You put the electrodes over the skull on the scalp.
Yep.
And then you run a current through them, right?
That's it.
And so you monitor this by watching how well everything goes off your laptop computer, or is it a notebook?
It's just a laptop, yeah. And we watch it, and you know, really, what we're watching for is we're just watching that we maintain good connectivity.
And so you know, if you can see that you're going to get a good treatment in, right?
Yes.
How long does it take from start to finish? Maybe an hour.
Start to finish, yeah. From the time I get there, get it set up. If I know what I'm going to do before I get there, then I can set up, do the treatment, take it all back apart and put it away in about 40 to 45 minutes.
So from start to finish, 40, 45 minutes, and you're out the door, right?
Yeah.
And a person can go on with their life.
They can go on.
So but these two guys, these two military veterans you were telling me about, I mean, Dave, these stories are incredible.
Yeah, and it is, and it. You know, I get to carry stories with me of people that I helped as a veteran service officer. And now I get to add to that with helping these guys out. And to me, that's uplifting. That
helps. This
me.
Is life-changing.
It is. And we're helping people. That's a big thing.
It's easy for me to believe that every human being has this natural... that's not the right way. God blesses everybody with a unique personality and skill set. And these two men that you were telling me about as your examples, their lives are changed for the better.
They are.
One of them's looking for work now, and he hadn't worked in 10 years.
Yeah.
Another one's able to engage you with his personality he wasn't able to before.
Exactly.
Did you say that 3 migraine medications are no longer being taken?
No longer necessary.
Exactly. I bet you anything, if he was taking 30 drugs, Dave, he's probably been whittled down to like 3 or 4 now.
I hope so. I hope he can do that. You know, we can't encourage that, but what we have to tell him is, you know, go talk to your doctor, and, you know, you work with your doctor. And we have seen that a lot of people have been able to wean themselves down off of a lot of their drugs, or, you know, just down to minimal doses now.
Dave, the other day I was doing a study on depression, and the thing that kept coming up over and over again, and when scientists are trying to evaluate someone that has very severe depression that's unresponsive to medication, they keep coming back to a system they kind of call collectively the default mode network. And what that represents is these are these midline structures between, you know, you've got the left hemisphere of the brain, you've got your right But you've got those midline nucleus or nuclei, and of course, you mentioned Alzheimer's or dementia earlier. There's a structure along the midline called the hippocampus. Mm-hmm. And they notice that when that begins to atrophy and shrink, you start to lose your short-term memory and your recall. Even like you gave me the example of people that you'd come up to in public, and you're thinking, what is this person's name? I recognize the face. They're talking to me like they know me. Rats. But this default mode network, this is the easiest way for me to say from the technical jargon that I've read before, it's overworking. It is overworking. It's like it's working so hard and racing that it's certainly not calm, but they know that when the default mode network is overheating and overworking, that always is instant depression. They cannot function from a position of, I feel calm and relaxed, like my brain is running on all eight cylinders.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why I know why people, like the gentleman I told you about that says I drink, you know, this much whiskey every night. And what it does is momentarily alcohol will shut off the default mode network, but it does wear off.
Yes.
And how does alcohol improve the health of a brain cell? It just doesn't.
It doesn't, no. Exactly.
And maybe, in modern times, people might either smoke marijuana or they might take a drug. Or like you said, exactly, they self-medicate.
Yeah.
But none of those strategies actually fix all the success
of
electrical activity of the brain.
Yeah, no.
But the microcurrent stimulator that you're using, that does retrain the brain to function properly, right?
It retrains the brain to function properly. And it also, and you know, one of the things that they've seen in some of these folks that have had the brain injuries is there are spots in the brain where the brain doesn't fire. And we're getting those.
Now, are you trying to say it's much less than normal activity?
No, there's no activity.
Okay, so we can go from the extreme.
Yeah.
You can do that imaging test where it shows there's excessive activity in one lobe of the brain or one part of the brain that might lead to anxiety or depression. But on the same token, there can be a part of the brain that's just not even firing at all.
Yeah.
That means it's just like in deep sleep.
I guess. I don't know.
No, that's not the right
thing. With these treatments, they're seeing that those spots are starting to light back up.
Oh, how cool is that?
It's healing the brain, or helping the brain heal itself.
Well, you know, the average person, would you like to have all your brain functioning or just 10% of it functioning?
Yeah, I would like to have it all.
It needs to be all up and running.
That's it.
Is there any chance that you could use too much of your brain?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah, I doubt it also. What would you say is, if you told me the things that you have your own natural God-given love for, what would be the type of conditions that you would love to treat with this microcurrent feedback?
Yeah, it treats a lot of things. I mean, we can help kids or adults with ADD, ADHD, addictions, anxieties, autism spectrum disorder.
What's one of the stories you've heard about of an individual that's had an issue with addiction? Because if I'm not mistaken, addiction is one of the biggest problems we have on the planet.
It is. I was talking to a guy that I work with and Tyler. He was treating a guy that was smoking and started the treatments, and the guy just, I don't have a desire for cigarettes anymore.
Dave, you realize that smoking cigarettes is probably the hardest addiction of all time to break.
I know it's difficult.
Did your father smoke cigarettes when you were growing up?
No.
Mine did. And it was nearly impossible, even after he had four heart attacks, to give up the cigarettes at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched him walk across the parking lot looking for something in the parking lot that somebody discarded. Where he could maybe just light it up and get a few puffs off of it or drags.
Yeah.
But I've had more people tell me that is one of the hardest addictions or habits to ever break. So this guy did this microcurrent neurofeedback.
To help with addictions.
Oh, is that the reason he did it, though?
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden his desire to smoke just went away?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And that goes, you know, with smoking, with drugs, with alcohol. It can help get rid of these. Now, you know, obviously, no guarantees, but
You ever heard of a drug called Chantix?
Yes.
That drug has one of the highest suicide rates as a side effect. You know what? It's when I looked at the study on it, they asked the question, "How effective is this?" It's going to blow your mind. 25%. That means it is not really that effective at all.
Yeah.
But it makes you super angry, you're super anxious, and you're suicidal. How can that be good?
Well, it's affecting how the brain functions.
If I just ask you your gut instinct on this, what would you say is a reasonable number of treatments to see if it would help somebody that either has horrible sleep patterns or has significant, and I realize I'm just being so vague and so general, so please forgive me, Dave. Sorry. But if somebody says, man, I'm just not happy in the world right now, there's a black cloud over me, how many treatments would you reasonably give that just to see if it might really benefit those individuals?
Generally, you'll see some kind of a benefit in 1 to 4 treatments.
That means real quick.
Pretty quick.
If somebody said, I'm all in, I want to really help myself improve here, how many treatments do you recommend? I mean, how many treatments do you recommend, and what would be the frequency, how often, space of time in between treatments?
Right. You know, a lot of it depends on how long their brain has been locked into that pattern.
Well, that guy you told me about, the Navy corpsman,
his brain is locked into the pattern for quite a number of years, and so we are 8 treatments in, and they are sustaining for a month now. And so what we're working
on... But does it get longer each time?
That's what we're working on now, because at the end of... And we just did... When I treated them last week, we're right at the end of 1 month.
But the benefits are lasting longer. They're more sustainable between treatments.
Right, and that's what we're working on now. We're working on lengthening the sustainability of those treatments. And so I'm going to keep them at 1 month for a couple of more treatments, and then we're going to see if we can stretch that out a little bit further. And once we get out past that, then basically we can let them go until they feel like they need a treatment. And
well, in the real world, doesn't life happen?
It does.
Which means they could be perfectly fine for a year, but they could have just a horrific, stressful situation come up, and they might kind of come back and go, you know what? I think I better go back for one more treatment to have like a touch-up.
Yeah, and that's what I tell folks. I say, you know, you may need 1 or 2 or 3 a year. You may not need any a year. You may need 5 or 6.
Which everybody's different, of course.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the things, you know, with people that deal with anxiety and depression or PTSD, those kinds of things. And some people know it and some people don't, but they have triggers. They have sights or smells or sounds or something that triggers them to get angry or to get depressed or to get anxious. You know, something's going to trigger something.
What's one of the triggers that you hear of frequently that'll set a person off?
Noise, loud noise.
Oh, boy. So if the neighbor is shooting a... 410 shotgun at a squirrel destroying the garden.
Yeah.
That may set him off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And sometimes it smells smoke, cigarette smoke sometimes, or...
So they could be in a happy place and smell cigarette smoke, and that could set them off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I say, some people know and some people don't. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he didn't even realize it was going to be a trigger, but he saw a picture. And there was something in that picture, and it was nothing more than a bale of hay, but it set him off.
Dave, before I go any further, I want to give out your cell phone number or your phone number one more time. It's area code 903-530-7704. And in case you didn't have a pencil or a pen, I'll give you a second, but I'm going to ask him a question, and I'll give you your phone number one more time before you answer the question, okay? Dave, has there been any research whatsoever about applying this microcurrent neurofeedback device to the brain for somebody that's has depression?
Oh, yes.
What do
there,
you...
There are studies going on with... In fact, the VA is doing a major long-term study with it right
now.
Oh,
the VA is using this device right now?
They are about 14 or 15 months, I think, maybe 16 months into a long-term study.
Oh, my goodness. I bet you they have some pretty interesting data right now.
I'm sure they do. In fact, we're working on right now, we're finishing up the preparation stages, I guess, if you will. We're about to start 2 studies with the University of Texas at Tyler here. One of them with vets for PTSDs. So we're going to be kicking that off here probably, hopefully in the next month or two.
What would you say are the most common symptoms of somebody that has PTSD?
Yeah, depression and anxiety are probably two of the worst ones. Startle response, obviously, are there. Anger management tends to be a really bad one.
Well, I would say those would probably prevent them from functioning at a high level in public, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they definitely do.
Oh, boy. So they're going to start the study pretty quick, huh?
Pretty soon. We're not sure yet just when it's going to start, but it's coming.
If you were to guess how many people have PTSD here in East Texas, what would you say?
Oh.
Throw a number out there.
Yeah, way too many. I don't know.
I mean, but wouldn't you say in the thousands, though?
Yeah. I dealt with a lot of guys that have PTSD in the 9.5 years that I worked as the veteran service officer.
But this is a tool that could be used, this microcurrent neurofeedback, where you could undo all that damage.
Where we can help them undo it.
Oh, my goodness. Have you ever heard of somebody that's come to, or have you heard of somebody being treated with this that suffered from Parkinson's?
It can help Parkinson's. Kind of depends on how far along they are.
Well, I think this is like anything else. There's a mild version, a moderate, and there's probably the most severe, where they just can't even, you know, ambulate or walk
on
their own.
Yeah, no control of their, you know, lower or upper extremities. In the early stages of Parkinson's, dementia, we can help with those things.
Dave, I'm trying to think if there's any disease or any horrific symptoms where the brain is not involved. I'm just not aware of it.
Yeah.
How can you separate the brain from the physical body? You cannot.
No, you can't. And in particular, the brain and the central nervous system. And that's, you know, this works to line all of that up and get it all back in working order. And that's where, you know, the elimination of chronic pain or headaches comes in.
What is the, who's the oldest person you've heard of this being used on?
Well, I don't know. I'm working with a guy right now that's...
You can't use yourself because you're far, far too young. So this guy's in his middle 80s?
Yeah. I think he's like 83 or 4 or something like that.
Well, I heard you mention ADD with kids. What would you say is the youngest you've heard this device being used on?
I don't know. But it's 6 or 7, maybe.
Yeah, but it's completely safe, right?
It is.
Which means if you had a 4-year-old that had significant issues, you could give it a go.
Yeah.
There's no side effects, right?
No.
Except you could have a child that's very obedient and
plays
well with others.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
I've never heard stories of parents that have children that are difficult. That just doesn't happen. Aha. Uh-huh. It's part of life, isn't it?
Part of life.
You know what happened to me the other day? This woman comes to see me, and she said, "Do you remember taking care of my husband, Daniel?" He says to tell you hi. I'm going, "No, I don't remember." Well, Dave, what happened was I heard this crash in front of my office, and this guy named Daniel was in a bad motorcycle accident, and all I did was just run out there to make sure nobody would run over him in the street. And, you know, you kind of forget about that. And she said, "Oh, yeah, that was back in 1993. And I'm going, "What? I don't remember what happened in 93. But even he would probably have brain damage just from that motorcycle wreck.
From banging his head on the concrete. Even with the helmet on.
Even with the helmet on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better with the helmet on.
Yes.
But you're still, your head is going to be like a ping pong ball on the concrete, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought of, Dave, these stories are just incredible, but in the world that we're living in, there's going to be people that are at the end of their life, and they're suffering horribly with, remorse and regret and emotions that haven't been resolved, and for all I know, the doctor said, "There's no more hope for you, we've got to go to hospice." But you know what I say? I say it's still worth a trial to improve them up until the very end.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to do one of these microcurrent neurofeedbacks for somebody that's dealing with end-stage cancer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the studies show that when somebody's in a happy place, everything goes a whole lot better.
Things go better.
And they usually are able to live quite a bit longer and function at a higher level.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but your name is Dave Thomason. Nobody really probably cares that I've known you for 20 years, but I have, so yeah. I can vouch for you. Your phone number, if you want them to contact you, is going to be area code 903-530-7704. And if they need to, they can just leave a message if you're busy, right?
Yes.
And you'll call them right back. If they leave a number.
Leave a number, yeah.
Okay. Does this go to your cell phone?
It does.
Okay, so you'll see who calls.
Yes.
Well, I hope they call you and ask you questions. You're a great man, and thank you for serving our country, buddy.
Thank you.
I love you, man.
Love you too, bye.
I hope you have a good day.
Thanks, Doc.